of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a Walk Through the Bible in a Year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 1 Samuel chapters 13 to 15. Saul's unlawful sacrifice. Saul was years old when he began to reign, and he reigned and 2 years over Israel. Saul chose 3,000 out of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent home to their tents. Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." When all Israel heard that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become odious to the Philistines, the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines mustered to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and troop like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped at Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the Israelites saw that they were in distress, for the troops were pressed hard, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. Some Hebrews crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people began to slip away from Saul. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me, and the offering of well-being." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to meet him and salute him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul replied, "When I saw that the people were slipping away from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines were mustering at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down upon me at Gilgal, and I have not entreated the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him to be ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And Samuel left and went on his way from Gilgal, and the rest of the people followed Saul to join the army. They went up from Gilgal towards Gibeah of Benjamin. Preparations for battle. Saul counted the people who were present with him, about 600 men. Saul, his son Jonathan, and the people who were present with them stayed in Geba of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped at Michmash, and raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned towards Ophrah to the land of Sheol, another company towards Beth Horon, and another company towards the mountain that looked down upon the valley of Zeboim, towards the wilderness. Now there was no smith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "The Hebrews must not make swords or spears for themselves." So all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen their plowshares, mattocks, axes, or sickles. The charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares and for the mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening the axes and for setting goads. So on the day of the battle, neither sword nor spear was to be found in the possession of all the people with Saul and Jonathan, but Saul and his son Jonathan had them. Jonathan surprises and routs the Philistines. Now a garrison of the Philistines had gone out to the pass of Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young men who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree that is at Migron. The troops who were with him were about 600 men, along with Ajah, son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord, in Shiloh, carrying an ephod. Now the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. In the pass by which Jonathan tried to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a craggy rock, or a rocky crag on one side and a rocky crag on the other. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senna. One crag rose on the north in front of Michmash, and the other on the south in front of Geba. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will act for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." His armor bearer said to him, "Do all that your mind inclines to. I am with you. As your mind is, so is mine." Then Jonathan said, "Now we will cross over to those men and will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and we will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hand, that we will, that will be the sign for us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." The men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer, saying, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer following after him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer coming after him killed them. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed about 20 men within an area about half a furrow long in an acre of land. There was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. Saul's lookout and Gibeah of Benjamin were watching as the multitude was surging back and forth. Then Saul said to the troops who were with him, "Call the roll and see who has come out from us." When they called the roll, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the fork of God here," for at that time the ark of God went with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priests, the tumult of the camp of the Philistines increased more and more. And Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and went into the battle, and every sword was against the other, so that there was very great confusion. Now the Hebrews, who previously had been with the Philistines and had gone up with them into the camp, turned and joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, when all the Israelites who had gone into hiding in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were fleeing, they also followed closely after them in the battle. So the Lord gave Israel the victory that day. The battle passed beyond Beth-Aven, and the troops with Saul numbered altogether about 10,000 men. The battle spread over the hill country of Ephraim. Saul's rash oath. Now Saul committed a very rash act on that day. He had laid an oath on the troops, saying, "Cursed be anyone who eats food before it is evening, and I have avenged on my enemies." So none of the troops tasted food. All the troops came upon a honeycomb, and there was honey on the ground. When the troops came upon the honeycomb, the honey was dripping out, but they did not put their hands to the mouth, for they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the troops with the oath. So he extended the staff that was in his hand and dipped the tip of it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers said, "Your father strictly charged the troops with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be anyone who eats food this day.' And so the troops are faint." Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if today the troops had eaten freely of the spoil taken from their enemies, for now the defeat of the Philistines has not been great." After they had struck down the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, the troops were very faint. So the troops flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slaughtered them on the ground, and the troops ate them with the blood. Then it was reported to Saul, "Look, the troops are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood." And he said, "You have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone before me." Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the troops and say to them, 'Let's all bring their oxen to their sheep and slaughter them here and eat. And do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood.' So all of the troops brought their oxen with them that night and slaughtered them there. And Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Jonathan in danger of death. Then Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and despoil them until the morning light. Let us not leave one of them." They said, "Do ever what seems good to you." But the priest said, "Let us draw near to God here." So Saul inquired of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him that day. Saul said, "Come here, all you leaders of the people, and let us find out how this sin has arisen today. For as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, even if it is my son Jonathan, he surely will die." But there was no one among all the people who answered him. He said to all Israel, "You shall be on one side, and I and my son Jonathan will be on the other side." The people said to Saul, "Do what seems good to you." Then Saul said, "O Lord God of Israel, why have you not answered your servant today? If this guilt is in me or in my son Jonathan, O Lord God of Israel, give Urim. But if this guilt is in your people Israel, give Thummim." And Jonathan and Saul were indicated by the lot, but the people were cleared. Then Saul said, "Cast the lot between me and my son Jonathan," and Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." Jonathan told him, "I tasted a little honey with the tip of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am, I will die." Saul said, "God, do so to me and more also. You shall surely die, Jonathan." Then the people said to Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished this great victory in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, not one hair on his head shall fall to the ground, for he worked with God today." So the people ransomed Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul withdrew from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Saul continuing wars. When Saul had taken the kingship over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the Ammonites, against Edom, against the king of Zobah, and against the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he routed them. He did valiantly and struck down the Amalekites and rescued Israel out of the hands of those who plundered them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishah. And the names of his two daughters were these. The names of the firstborn was Merab, and the name of the younger was Michal. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the commander of his army was Abner, son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner the father of Abner and the son of Abiel. There was hard fighting against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong or valiant warrior, he took him into his service. Saul defeats the Amalekites, but spares their king. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did in opposing the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers, and 10,000 soldiers of Judah. Saul came to the city of the Amalekites and lay in waiting in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, leave, withdraw from among the Amalekites, or I will destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites withdrew from the Amalekites. Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah to as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. He took King Agag of the Amalekites alive, but utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle and of the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was valuable and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Saul rejected as king. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and Samuel was told, Saul went to Carmel, where he set up a monument for himself, and on returning, he passed on down to Gilgal. When Samuel came to Saul, Saul said to him, May you be blessed by the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we will have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stop, I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He replied, Speak. Samuel said, Though you are little in your own eyes, you are not the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But from the spoil, the people took sheep and cattle, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray, pardon my sin and return with me so that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go away, Saul got hold of the hem of his robe and tore it. And Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this very day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. Moreover, the glory of Israel will not deceive or change his mind, for he is not immortal, and he should change his mind. Then Saul said, I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. And Agag came to him haltingly. Agag said, Surely death is bitter. Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so your mother shall be childless among women. And Samuel sued Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul until the day of his death, but Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We have read of the downfall of Saul and a realization of the warnings against the king. The theme of the consequences of not trusting in God is seen again and again as we are reading through the Hebrew Bible. How can we take these warnings to heart in our day-to-day lives? Now let's turn to Jude 1. Salutation. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, who are beloved in God the Father and kept safe for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Occasion of the letter. Beloved, while eagerly preparing to write to you about the salvation we share, I find it necessary to write and appeal to you to contend for the faith that was once and for all handed on to the saints. For certain intruders have stolen in among you, people who long ago were designated for this condemnation as ungodly, who pervert the grace of our God into debauchery and deny our only master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment on false teachers. Now I desire to remind you, though you are fully informed once and for all, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their own position but deserted their proper dwelling, he kept in eternal chains in deepest darkness for the judgment of the great day. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which in the same manner as they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural lust, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these dreamers also defile the flesh, reject authority, and slander the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a condemnation of slander against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people slander whatever they do not understand, and they are destroyed by those things that, like irrational animals, they know by instinct. Woe to them, for they go the way of Cain and abandon themselves to Balaam's error for the sake of gain and perish in Korah's rebellion. These are blots on your love feasts while they feast with you without fear, feeding themselves. They are waterless clouds carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting upon the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the deepest darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "See, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all the deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers and malcontents. They indulge their lusts, their mouths utter bombastic nonsense, flattering people to their own advantage." Warnings and exhortations. But you, beloved, must remember the word previously spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. For they said to you, "In the last time there will be scoffers indulging their own ungodly lusts. It is these worldly people devoid of the Spirit who are causing divisions. But you, beloved, build yourselves upon your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourselves in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are wavering. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and have mercy on still others with fear, hating even the tunic defiled by their bodies." Benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. As you listen to this chapter, what did you notice? In this epistle, we are warned against false teachings. I find myself focusing on the language of what we ought to do, where we should focus our mind. We are encouraged to focus on love and mercy. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.